Matthew 25, or however you want to say it, of this 25th chapter. We are still in red letter. Jesus is still speaking. Jesus is still, this is his prophetic ministry. And he is prophesying. And this is the parable of the talents. Beginning with verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to read it like it does. It reads in the King James. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. You have to almost accent every word, don't you? But I will say, as if you have a Bible that tells you by italics what is not in the original, the kingdom of heaven is not in the original text. And if you have one of those Bibles, you see that it's in italics. It's telling you that was added by the translators. And so it reads, for as a man traveling into a far country. Well, we know what this is speaking of. It's speaking of our Lord, and the far country's heaven. But I want to say what the theme, or maybe I should say subject, or I like the theme better. Theme or subject of this parable is trustworthiness. And God wants a people who is trustworthy. And even though Jesus is speaking specifically to Israel here, there is some lessons for God's people of any age that we see in this parable. But I want to make it clear, he is speaking and prophesying unto Israel. And he is primarily speaking of service to them. And the principle is to put to use what the Lord gives. Isn't that good for God's people of all ages? Yes. Put to use what God has given you. And that's what we see here. He said he called his servants. Notice it says his own servants. You know, every word here, you just, and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We'll stop here for a minute before we go on. The Lord commits special trust to his servants who are left when he went to heaven, and to care for his interests in his absence. And again, we have those who are faithful, and we have those who are unfaithful. There are professors concerning believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are just those who are true professors, possessors. I'll get out the right word here in a minute. So there's professors and there's possessors. And these talents are not natural gifts necessarily at all, because it's not speaking that these gifts are just natural personalities, nor education or something added to these. But God gave talents according to their ability. And what was it? His goods. And I'm not saying that God cannot use natural talents. I'm not saying that at all, because he does. He uses our natural talents. But these talents make us responsible in the measure that they were given unto us. We kind of have to say selah and think on that. All right, we're going to read verses 16 through 18. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he had gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I will stop right there for a little bit. So the thought is faithfulness and trustworthiness. And if we have these before the Lord, God will invest in us as we gain for him. And I can't explain that anymore, but I think you just experience it. As, huh? All right. He will, as we have his goods and how we, what we do with them, and now I'm putting it in different words, you're going to have trouble writing it down. He will invest in us. As we are gaining for him. See that when we invest what he has given, it's gaining for him. Not for us, but gaining for him and his kingdom. The Lord gives us opportunities. And they will increase with wise use. You'll find that out. He gives us opportunities, and we take advantage of those opportunities. He will increase those opportunities because we have made wise use of them. And the sphere of service grows larger as we serve. You'll find it true. We are responsible for wise use of them. And there must be no hiding of the talents. This one digged a hole and put it in the ground. But talk about, that's not even hiding it under a bushel. That's putting it underground. The Lord wants us to return back to him a profit of his goods. To return to him a profit from our lives. I have written down Ecclesiastes 9:10, and I can't quote it, so I better turn there. Ecclesiastes, that is just before Song of Solomon, and the 9th chapter and verse 10 to go with this. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So that's what one I thought was good to read. Well, light is given unto us. Praise the Lord for the light that he has given unto us, and it's for a testimony. As he is the light of the world, especially when he walked here on earth, now in his absence, we are his lights. We are his lights in this world, and not to be hidden under a basket. We sing that as a child, don't we? This little light of mine. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't let Satan it out. Well, in banking, if investors don't make a profit, then they're not going to invest, right? Uh-huh. So it is with the Lord. He is not going to invest where there is no profit. He knows. And open doors are set before us. As I said, those opportunities. He does open doors for us. And we need to have faith to walk in, take advantage of that situation, that thing that he has given it to us. And so may we take advantage of every one of them. That this is how the 5 grows to 10, and how the 2 grows into 4. And no one is shut up to uselessness. There would be some that you might come in contact with as believers that they make you sound like, you know, I'm just good for nothing, and I don't have anything. I don't have anything to do for the Lord, or the Lord doesn't use me. Well, we've heard it. But no one is shut up to uselessness in God's vineyard. Amen? Yeah. There are opportunities and possibilities of increasing our talents, his goods that he gives us. And thus we add to the Lord's riches. Isn't that good to think about that? That we can add to the Lord's riches. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. Praise God. We want to be profitable servants unto him, don't we? All right, let's read verses 19, beginning with verse 19, and I'm going to read through 27. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, oh, praise the Lord, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't we want to hear those words one of these days? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I love that line too. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money, notice that, my money, to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury, or with interest. Yes. We notice here that there are degrees of responsibilities. That's very clear, isn't it? And the one who receives but 1 talent is called upon to gain only 1 more. But this one, he hides it in the earth, that 1 talent. And he imagines that he's not responsible to do anything. But each one is entrusted with a charge. And no matter how little it may be, there should be an increase. May we not despise the small way. You look at all the goings on in this city, the big churches, the important positions that certain ones have in that organization or whatever. We're pretty little, aren't we? But let us not despise the little way. The Lord says that it is according unto our ability, that which we are able to do, in other words. And of course, he's the enabler, isn't he? Yeah. And so it is the one that yields to him and that he enables. But it takes that yieldedness. Yes. The Lord asks no more than that. But no one is excused from service. Do you notice how his excuse is given? Well, it didn't work, did it? The majority of Christians drop out of all responsibility. I even sometimes have heard and wondered, too, that's why they like to go to the big churches, you know. They don't know one another. They don't. The pastor doesn't know them, and they can just not have to do anything. Uh-huh. And yet they think, well, they've done their duty if they go and sit and so on. Well, I shouldn't have added that, but that's what come to my mind. Well, the majority of Christians do drop out of all responsibility. And they become weak because their faith is inactive. And so they become weak. They are really, practically, are giving up their talents into the hands of others. The Lord is never shorthanded. So they get the benefit of the unused talent because if one does not serve him, the Lord just puts it in the hands of someone who will serve him, right? So let's read verses 27 through 29. I'm going to read 27 again. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. See what I was saying? Uh-huh. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. I'm not going to read verse 30 yet. I want to comment here. Just suppose that all that we have is one talent, a very small, despised sphere of service. Every day's wise use of it will carry us on to the doubling of its value. Doesn't matter whether it was five, whether it was two, or whether it was just one. So we are not shut up within the limits of God's first gift to us. You know, sometimes ones are just satisfied with what they received and they don't put it to use. They don't put his goods to use. You know, but we can shut ourselves up by hiding the one talent in the earth. Now, just speaking practically, the result is losing what we have and also the capacity of gaining more. Well, you might say our choice. God's responsibility is to give him that hath shall more be given. The one that steadily makes use of his opportunities, it just increase accordingly. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath is taken away. And consider this also. It is not the amount that we are entrusted with. Did that not impress you? That determines the reward. Did you notice that the five who gained five and the two that gained made four, their reward was the same: faithfulness and trustworthiness. And he gives according unto ability. Mm-hmm. But our faithfulness to that which was given to us, that's what is the message here. The servant that had five doubled, the two doubled, but they both equally were approved by the Lord, and their reward was alike. It is possible for the one with only one talent to have gained one talent more, and he would have received commendation, and he would have received a reward the same. Trustworthiness and faithfulness. If he had used it, it would have been doubled to two. I like the thought here of adding to the joy of the Lord. Don't you? Don't you like that thought? I believe the one who is faithful to serve in a humble capacity and to do it cheerfully is exalted more. I don't know how to put this, in adding to the joy of the Lord. Praise the Lord. In a greater measure, I believe. Well, this is service born out of love that seeketh not his own. That's one of the troubles in Christendom today, that many are just seeking their own stature and popularity and what have you. I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Well, the principle here applies to every true Christian. As I said to begin with, God's people of any age, this applies. Yet the one described here that hid his Lord's money in the earth is not even classed as being one of the people of God. Do you notice that too? Yes. So we'll read verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this belongs to another dispensation, but as I said before, there's things here for us to consider and to learn. His conduct is totally unbelief. Does that not tell you something? Totally unbelief. He didn't believe his Lord, and he's so arrogant, and he shows no fear of the Lord in spite of his empty words. They're just empty. His words show a legal spirit, which often exists even in true believers. That always makes me sad to even hear a minister, and you know they know the grace of God, and yet they will preach in a legal tenor, and it's like though keeping the saints under their thumb, so to speak. Now, you might say, well, I've never seen that. Well, I have. It often exists in true believers, and even I have heard it in ministers, which must be judged, or else we will be incapable of being useful to the Lord and also of being a blessing to others. Well, I think I have a few more notes here before I close. We don't want to be guilty of that kind of attitude and be found unfaithful, which at whatever the Lord has given us, whatever he has blessed us with, let us be not guilty of being unfaithful to that which he has given to us. I'm not talking exactly just about a place, which that's true too. If the Lord has given us a place, be faithful to that place. But whatever the Lord has given us, be faithful. Be faithful. Let us make use of every advantage that we have to glorify the Lord and enriching him, but also it enriches us eternally. But praise the Lord, we want to enrich him. Praise the Lord. Faith is the energy of service. You can't enter into a service of the Lord without faith. It would be useless. And that's faith that works by love. Yes. Well, we see here this one unfaithful servant here. He condemned himself with his own words, didn't he? Uh-huh. Because he said he knew his master was as he thought. And he should have loaned his Lord's money out so it might have received interest. The judgment of the Lord is absolute and condemnation. He's cast into outer darkness. Well, I didn't intend to read this, but I think I'm going to. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. Just listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, we know that that has been added there, but we do find that statement a couple of verses later. Anybody have anything you would like to say? That's right. That's true. Amen. Anyone else?